And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 6 minutes past nine on this Monday. It is the 8th of April, 2024, and you're very welcome along to the start of another week of the 9 to noon show. And thank you so much for choosing us here on Highland Radio. I hope you had a weekend that was good to you. Let us know if there's anything you want to talk about, maybe something popped up over the weekend that you think should be on the show. The lines are open for you, 086 60 25000. Your WhatsApps and texts to that number, as you know. You can also send your WhatsApp voice notes if that suits you better. And you can give us a call as well, 074 91 25000. And emails come into us at comments@highlandradio.com. Watch the show on your telly, your smart TV, your Fire Stick. On the YouTube app, just type in Highland Radio Ireland. And you can watch us across Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on the X platform. Right, let's have a look at what's on the front of the newspapers this morning. And we'll start with the Donegal News, just referenced there by Lee before the news. Gwydor's Moya Brennan became the 45th recipient of the Donegal Person of the Year Award at a gala event in the Bonington Hotel, Dublin, on Saturday night, attended by just short of 450 guests. Moya was joined on the night by her husband, Tim Jarvis, daughter Aisling and son Paul, together with members of the extended Brennan family, including her sisters Deirdre and Bridgine, and brothers Bartley and Paul, the Celtic folk singer from the internationally known and talented musical family, has had an amazing career which has spanned six decades, selling over 20 million records and recording in excess of 25 albums. And a lot of that was represented on the night. There was a great video, as I said to Lee, played before Moya officially took the award. And it is clear that she's held in very high regard, not just in the music scene as well, but in other interests she has in her life. From the beginning of Moya's career with her father Leo in the Sleeve Foy band, through her time in Clannad, the Moya Brennan band, and with the many groups she has been a part of and artists she's collaborated with, Moya has never forgotten her roots. And we had the pleasure of quite a long sit-down conversation with Moya at the time of her most recent birthday. And I think the video of that's still up available somewhere or other. But she's clearly a very interesting woman, very humble too, and very nice. The Derry News this morning: attacks on buses and the fire service in Derry have been condemned. Police, I never understand the point of this. You know, people, one of the first numbers they'll call when they're in bother is the emergency services. And then some see fit to target them as they go about their duties. Police in the city received reports of antisocial and criminal activity in Gallia over a three-night period from April 2nd to 4th. Bins, pallets and other materials were stolen and set on fire. A window of a was smashed. I'm not sure what it was, maybe a bus. A window of something was smashed and a petrol bomb was thrown at the side of the vehicle in the Fergleen Park area. Police said that some of the people involved in the incidents were masked. On to the Nationals now. A big day for Fine Gael. Leo Varadkar formally resigns today, and Simon Harris will take over the mantle as, well, he's already the party leader, isn't he, but as Taoiseach of the country. Simon Harris has asked party members for manifesto ideas to support farming and small businesses in a sign he's already gearing up for a general election. Well, he has to be, because it's next year at the very latest, less than 11 months away. The Fine Gael leader, who is expected to become Taoiseach tomorrow, has said it is not his intention to hold a general election this year. However, last week he told party members at two internal meetings he wanted them to come back to him within a month with ideas. More coverage of the changing of the guard there. There's going to be a cabinet reshuffle of sorts. Speculation in the Independent. There are fears within the highest ranks of Fine Gael that moving Helen McEntee out of the Department of Justice could feed into the far-right anti-immigration agenda. Three junior ministers, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, Patrick O'Donovan and Hildegard Nocton, are locked in a battle for the Fine Gael job as a cabinet minister. But Fine Gael leader Simon Harris is weighing up his options ahead of his cabinet reshuffle tomorrow. I thought that was all today. Maybe the timelines are wrong. I thought Leo Varadkar Anyway, I thought that was today that all this is done. But anyway, the papers seem to think it's tomorrow. There's been widespread speculation in Fine Gael that the new leader will move the Justice Minister out of her portfolio and leave her in the cabinet. There are concerns within Fine Gael about her performance in the justice role, and Mr. Harris pledged to put a renewed focus on law and order once he is Taoiseach. On to the Irish Times this morning, and excessive use of social media is creating a generation of broken people, according to a prominent consultant psychiatrist. Professor Matthew Sadlier said there had been a fivefold increase in cases of self-harm seen at the Mater Hospital in Dublin over the past three decades, with use of social media increasingly contributing to a range of mental health problems, particularly among young people. The Irish Medical Organisation, their conference in Killarney, passed motions on Saturday calling on the Department of Education to ban smartphone use in primary schools from the start of the next school year, and on the Department of Health to develop a detailed programme aimed at combating social media addiction and harm. It's just really hard to see how mobile phone usage is going to lessen from where we're at now. But anyway, the Irish Daily Star this morning, a clinical trial that saw high-resolution scanning technology used to identify heart disease has been hailed as a potential game-changer for cardiac treatment. A team at the University of Galway used CT scan imagery to pinpoint coronary artery disease and blockages as an alternative to traditional angiographs, an invasive procedure that involves the puncturing of blood vessels, insertion of cables and use of dyes. The team, based at the university's CARB core lab, analysed the images taken from patients in trial hospitals in the US and Europe, and the research was published on Sunday in the European Heart Journal. As I say, it might not come to pass anytime soon, but sounds very positive and well worth mentioning. On to the Irish Daily Mirror this morning, and a man appeared in court nude, naked, after his emotional support cat went missing during a traffic stop arrest. Joseph Davis was before Judge Mary Quirk at a weekend sitting at Dublin District Court. Davis, from North Dublin, was charged with Road Traffic Act offences of failing to give Gardaí his details and not keeping the car stationary on Friday in Finglas. Judge Quirk heard the motorist refuse to wear his clothes when brought into the courthouse. Davis entered the courtroom naked with his hands over his privates, but within seconds he stood with arms outstretched to argue his case after rejecting the services of a lawyer, telling him to F off. Judge Quirk told him to sit down, but he stood and claimed he'd been stripped and humiliated. And on it goes. He's back in court today, so hopefully that goes okay for him. And finally, did you watch Shay Given on the TV at the weekend? He was on Saturday night. I didn't see it, but his performance, or his appearance, sorry, performance sounds like it was put on, but his appearance has resonated. People got a bit more of an insight into Mr. Given. Shay Given bravely opened up on the tragic deaths of his mother and brother, saying life is very short at times. The former Republic of Ireland goalkeeper's mum passed away at 41 when Given was only 4. His brother Kieran died over Christmas, aged just 52, at his home in Germany. And Shay's uncle passed away in December, or on December 25th, just 2 days after Kieran's death. Speaking on Saturday's Tommy Tiernan show, the ex-Newcastle and Man City star said, "I get emotional when I talk about Mum, even now. There were 6 of us, and my dad just had to get on with it." The Donegal native, who's 47, wow, I didn't realise he was quite that old, added, "My brother's passing recently was tough. For my dad, he is going to be 80 this year. It's a tough time, as you felt he was reliving losing my mum. Life is very short at times." Indeed, it is very, very, very short. And fair play to Shay for speaking out. It does help others, you know, when they see someone that they look up to speaking about those things in reality. Okay, so we got this email into the programme that reads as follows. "Could you please highlight on your show what I've felt strongly about for years now? It's about the junction at the entrance into the village of Newtown Cunningham. I live outside the village, but I will not use that junction due to its danger. There are 3 lanes on both sides and the traffic does not ease their speed while passing it. I've seen people cross between approaching cars and they know you're only seconds they have to, they know they have only got seconds, that they have to do so or wait maybe another 5 minutes to get across. People are risking their lives and taking chances at this junction. It's a very busy road with the local people coming out from both sides, and the Moyle National School is just off the main road, so parents and children use it every day. The volume of traffic has got so heavy on the main Derry to Letterkenny road, and the speed of all vehicles do not ease while passing this junction. Is there any way this could be made safer to use and maybe put a roundabout there? It would ease the speed and make it safer for everyone. I've seen so many roundabouts in other counties where junctions are not as busy. Greg, I live locally and I will not use that junction. A lot of people go up to Curlins and come back down around again. Maybe Donegal County Council engineers could make this a safer place for everyone. I feel fear and anxiety if I had to use it. Please see if you can find anything out about this junction. Well, we are joined on the programme now by Councillor Paul Canning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Greg. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear. Good to have you on the show. Do you recognise this listener's concerns with your local knowledge?
I do recognise their concerns, and they're 100% right. We have been on, you know, on numerous occasions with the TIA, which is the Transport Infrastructure Ireland, and they have done feasibility studies and analysis on the actual location. And unfortunately, at this point in time, it's on the long finger insofar as there's a bridge there with a crossing, and there's also the National Primary Road have certain standards of a roundabout to adhere to. Plus the fact is the there's a part of the road that needs to be realigned in the Manor Conyngham side. So all of that has to take place as the one project, so to speak. So they're not going to do ad hoc work, unfortunately. They have done surveys in relation to the actual traffic accidents, and there's a few accidents on the way out of Newton Conyngham where people run into the back of another car, which is minor. Regarding serious accidents, the count is not that big compared to the percentage of vehicles that's using it. So all of that they have put into their analysis, and that, you know, that leaves you competing with other junctions. I agree with the lady. It is a very nerve-wracking junction, and people do tend to jump across between traffic. In relation to the Moyle School, a lot of people that goes to the Moyle School is on the opposite side of the road. It does need to be looked at. Now, on the other side of the coin, we are looking at an underpass to connect to a greenway that is planned for down at Newton Conyngham, the Greenway Car Park. So there's ongoing negotiations with TIA, and maybe when they're looking at that, they could look at revisit the roundabout.
I don't want to shoot the messenger here, but some of the reasons the TEI look at is the fact that there hasn't been a large number of serious collisions. But if they recognise, or if we all recognise, that this is a dangerous junction, surely we should be being proactive and making sure as best we can that we don't see a fatality or serious injury at this junction on a more regular occasion.
Yeah, you're, again, 100% right. But it is the way it is at the minute. Is they do look at the traffic accidents, and there is a lot of serious accididents happening in a lot of other junctions, and they automatically get priority.
So for an example, they're looking at this junction, and I suppose at the same time they might be looking at I'm not sure if you're familiar with it or not, the junction down in Lahey there, where there have been quite a number of quite serious collisions there, and they'll progress plans for that roundabout more quickly.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's down to manpower and pound notes, as we all know. And they will prioritise the man said, the one that is creating the most fatalities. And that's how they work. But I will listen, I've regular conversations and emails to the TIA. I could revisit that and bring it back up, and I can get, if the lady in question wants to get in touch with me, I can get information to her as to where they're at in the whole process.
Do they attribute or do they make a judgment on the cause of collisions? Like, is it, would they say, right, yes, we concede the junction is dangerous, or would they say Do they go as far as to say that, well, actually, it's the way people are approaching the junction or driving the junction, i.e. it's the driver's faults?
Yeah, they look at driver behaviour along with the whole setup of the actual roundabout or any junction. They'll look at driver behaviour as much as anything else, and they'll do their complete analysis. And they could be looking at it 10 miles up the road and 10 miles down the road as well to see where else they can alleviate the traffic.
All right, so but the takeaway from this is that don't hold your breath for a roundabout, but maybe with the creation of an underpass or something along those lines, the problems could be eased that way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we are, as you are well aware of, we are doing a lot of work within the main street in Newton Cunningham. And maybe whenever they see that, as they always do when they start a project, they continue with the project and maybe move out onto the National Primary Road. I know it's two different teams that'll be doing the work, but at that point in time, they could look at it. And I, as I say, I will get back to you in relation to that and see where they're at regarding that roundabout.
All right. Listen, thank you for that. Probably not the answer the listener wanted, but it is the facts, and we have to deal with them as well too. Thank you very much, Councillor Paul Canning. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Any views on that, let us know, 086 60 25,000. Can anyone explain to me how there is as much as 8 and 12 cent a difference in the cost of petrol in Letterkenny? Well, I mean, obviously, they're businesses, right? So they can charge different prices depending on what they want to do. There is also an element of when they get petrol or diesel delivered. So some might be at an older rate and some at a newer rate. And also, too, I suppose it's the opportunity for the consumer to shop around. So I would say there are the factors as to why there is that big a difference. It is the same as two shops that might, one shop sells a crate of Coke for €22 and another shop will sell it for €12. It is also up to them what they charge. But that would be my best guess there. And there's huge variances. I would say across Donegal, I saw 168 for petrol, I think it was, yesterday. So 168, and I've seen 181 in the south of the county. For some reason, petrol's much more expensive in some parts of South Donegal. So that's a huge difference, isn't it? That's like 14 cent of a difference across the county. Amazing stuff. I think sometimes there's a geographical element to it as well. Right, Eamon's with me now. Hi, Eamon.
Yes, Greg, how are you getting on?
I'm doing okay. Your question is a simple one. What is the Israeli ambassador still doing in this country?
Yeah, it's awful. It's what the IDF and the, I call them Zionists, because it crosses both religions of Christian and Jewish religion. They are fanatics, and what they're doing is unconscionable. It's horrific. It's murder in plain sight. It's ethnic cleansing by tens of, and hopefully what they say is by 2 million people. And it wasn't long after this episode kicked off in October, I texted you to say that their main opposite, the main MO now that they have is to make it uninhabitable, Gaza, and get rid of them, and they would have the best beachfront property in the Mediterranean. And to that effect, actually, I saw an interview on the BBC app by Orla Yigirin, and she interviewed this woman called Vice, and she was one of the main people who is actively looking to see get plots for people now in what is Gaza, getting rid of the people. They've just said, well, Canada's big enough, Africa's big enough, let them go there, you get rid of them, and God has promised us this land. You know, they're it's like, I mean, it's truly fanaticism and evil together, what they're doing, what they've done since 1948. They had three main gangs, the Stern, the Leahy, and the Irgun, and they just butchered their way up the coast. And by the way, they were actually one of the main people who armed them was a guy called, everybody knows him, it's called Stalin. Now, there you go.
Mm. Now, the Israeli ambassador was speaking there not so long ago, Dana Elric. And she said that we in this country have a one-sided view of the Middle East conflict, and that we don't take into consideration that there are other villains. She said that Israel is portrayed as the only villain in Ireland, and that the actions of Hamas militants should be condemned more often. Now, every time we have this conversation, and I'm sure you would have come to it at some point, obviously, what happened early October, October 6th, 7th, is, and that was carried out by Hamas and others, is completely deplorable. And, you know, you couldn't condemn it enough.
It is deplorable.
But it's what happened since, obviously, to... But do you think that Ambassador Ehrlich is perhaps not giving the Irish people enough credit in actually seeing with their own eyes, listening with their own ears, making their own minds up and concluding that what Israel is doing is, most people believe, genocide?
Of course it's genocide. They all have the same narrative. Any spokesperson for the government, for the IDF, they all have the same narrative. You listen to, say, Channel 4, and they have some very excellent journalists there, broadcasters, and they can't make a pitch of it because they will not change. They just come on, and the first thing they say, October the 7th, and then we have the right to defend ourselves, and this and that, and it's just so cold, so calculating, and it's just nearly robotic. They're nearly like automatons. Mm. They just say this narrative, and they won't deviate. They will not...
The Israeli ambassador was disinvited from Fine Gael's Ardesh at the weekend. She was on the invite list, but in the end was not invited. And Simon Harris, he said the Irish people are repulsed by Benjamin Netanyahu's actions. Do you think that's a step in the right direction? I.e., really, I suppose the question I was going to lead on to is, what actually would expelling Ms. Ehrlich actually achieve?
Well, if we did it, maybe another country that's waiting in the wings, they might do it. So it could build up to show the Americans, because don't forget the Americans, they are the main players here. And Joe Biden is a Zionist, the Clintons were Zionists, the Bushes were Zionists, and being a Zionist, they want to see the expansion of Israel. John Bolton, he was under Trump, he was the ambassador to the United Nations, which he hated, which he actually loathed the United Nations, and he was a Zionist. Because I remember saying off in one speech, he says, I hope next year we'll be in Tehran. No, in other words, that they'll have moved there. And but this is what you're up against. So people have to do things what they wouldn't normally do, and they shouldn't be here. They don't care. They don't care about anybody's other opinion. They will do what they want. They do not want a two-state solution.
No, and that's just for people who, Zionism, because the word's often used, and I don't often hear it explained. My understanding is Zionism has the goal of creating a Jewish national state in Palestine. So, in other words, if you were a Zionist, the way you would achieve the goal literally would be to eliminate really Palestine as it is known, and for Jewish people to live there. That's what a Zionist is. You said Biden was a Zionist. He is in favor of the two state solution. Would that not suggest that he's not a Zionist?
Well, there's people who are dithering here. Let me tell you about a few politicians in America at the moment. There was three. You know, I can't remember your woman's name. She was a congresswoman down in Florida. Kill them all. There's another guy called, these were all Republican, by the way, Andy Ogles. Kill them all. Another guy, he came out there. He was Tim Walberg's. He came out the week before last. He says, no, what we need is a Hiroshima and Nagasaki solution here. We have had Ben Giver, that ultra-right wing guy, they call him, and he was even discussing the nuke option. No, where do you stop? Where do you stop? You can't give people like that credit for anything.
It's amazing. You would have thought that in this day and age, just referencing his comments that you mentioned, for the congressman to call for a bomb to be dropped on Gaza like Nagasaki and Hiroshima, you would think that would encroach on some sort of a crime, if you know what I mean, to call for the mass annihilation of anyone, whether it doesn't matter where they're from or whatever. It would make you wonder how someone feels they can say that publicly, that it's okay.
But that's what they do. That's what they do, because there are no repercussions. Nobody says anything. About a year ago, there was a Democratic congresswoman, and I think she may have Muslim origins, and she just said the phrase "from the waters to the sea," and the sanctions that she had to go through was horrible. There wasn't one word of dissent against these people. There was a congresswoman, I can't remember her name, another guy from Houston, Tennessee, Andy Ogles, and Tim Walbergs was his name, and he was the Nagasaki Hiroshima comment. There are no repercussions, because they can say what they want, because they seem to control Congress. And a lot of American politicians seem to look back. There's been two high-profile murders in people who actually put forward the two-state solution. And one of them was a Swedish guy. He was a United Nations guy called, this was 1948 actually, Folk Bernadotte. And he was murdered by one of the three gangs. I don't know which one. Then if you look at one of Netanyahu's predecessors, Itzhak Rabin, if you read up on that, he was at the Oslo Accord, and they had sort of agreed that there would be certain areas where the settlers would have to be removed, and these are mostly all illegal. They would have to be removed, and there were loads and loads of demonstrations, and they were calling him Adolf Hitler. They were calling, they were Nazis. They were going to go through this. And the main leaders of this demonstration was Benjamin Netanyahu. Yeah. And they were carrying coffins with nooses.
Yeah.
And the Secret Service in Israel told him to die there down, and he didn't. And they murdered him. It's like what it'd been.
That's what's speculated.
Terrible.
I get you. All right, Eamon, listen, thanks for your time this morning. Take care of yourself. Do you agree with Eamon? Disagree? 086 60 25,000. After the Holocaust, says a listener, they said it would never happen again. Then came Rwanda and now Gaza and everything in between. We are just on the most basic level, that a group of humans can do any of this to another group of humans is really quite remarkable. Hi, Greg. The resident in Newtown Cunningham is right. Why doesn't Paul Canning and his colleagues challenge the council for the safety of his constituents? Safety precautions only come after an accident or fall. Lazy, uncaring politics. This somewhat talks to the power of the local authority, though that road is not really... It's the Transport Infrastructure Ireland, which is a separate entity to Donegal County Council, and that's what he has to liaise with. He can't liaise with the council on this matter to actually progress it, so to speak. Hi, Greg. They have Newton destroyed with big wide footpaths. You could land planes. They can do nothing right in this country. Okay. There should be lights at the old Dons Junction. This must be in Letterkenny, is it? When I drive at night, I prefer to drive down Ballymacool to avoid the area. It is an accident waiting to happen. The rest of the town is lit up like a Christmas tree. So why can't something be done there? Never really felt that those two junctions that would be closed to old Dons. I thought they worked quite well, or I found they worked quite well using them. But that doesn't take away from the listener, from what the listener has said. Petrol 1.85 in our area. It's 11 cents up since last Easter. Since Easter, 1.85. So we've got petrol at 1.69 for definite. I saw it might want 1.68.9 or something like that, but let's say 1.69. So the dependent where you are in Donegal, a 16 cent swing in the price of petrol, 16 cent a litre. It's really quite remarkable. So another email from a listener. I wonder if you, your listeners, the Gardaí, or any insurance companies listening to your show can help me, please. I have a 20-year-old son who's a car enthusiast, And like thousands of others around Donegal and Ireland, he would rather spend his money on his car than go out drinking. He recently purchased parts to upgrade his car, which included lowering springs for the suspension, new side skirts and an induction kit air filter for the engine. Air intake costing him €700, which sounds a lot, but he isn't a drinker and keeping his car polished and looking nice is a thing. When he told me the amount of money he spent on the parts, I was a bit taken aback, but I thought he could be spending the money on worse things. The only thing I said to him was, as long as you're insured properly, I've no problem with you modding the car. He has a full license for 2 years and 3 years no claims bonus in his own name. He's driving a 2012 1.2 engine car and is currently insured with AXA. When he goes to meet his car enthusiastic friends, not boy racers at the weekend, 80% of the cars are modded in some way. Either lowered or side skirts or a spoiler on the boot lid, front bumper, or maybe the air filter is changed and so on. He contacted his insurance company to tell them he was thinking of modifying his car and what parts he wanted to change. His insurance company told him that they would have to cancel his insurance if he modified the car because they do not cover modified cars. He rang six other insurance companies looking to get quotes for insurance on his car and pretended that it was already modified. Not one company would quote him for insurance on a modified car. He came to me and he said, I can't get insurance, but I'm going to put the lowering springs and the induction kit into the car anyway. Everyone else is doing it, so why can't I? This obviously caused a huge argument in the house and is continuing to cause a cooling between my son and myself, as I won't let him modify the car until he gets insured properly. And on it goes. Now, listening to that, and with a prior look at that, was Shane Donaghy, editor of CompleteCar.ie, and he joins us in the programme. Now, there's two things going on here, Shane. I mean, obviously, you can understand exactly, you know, where this young lad and his mother's coming from, but then obviously then there's other factors to consider too with a modified vehicle. So what's your hot take?
I don't know if it's a hot take. I mean, I sympathise with the guy for sure, and for people like him. I mean, the parent clearly had an emotive slant on this and pointed out that the kid doesn't spend his money on drinking and alluded to other things like drugs, etc. Probably, you know, that he basically, it's a good kid. All he's doing is modding his car and he doesn't drive. The parents seem to suggest he's not a boy racer, so believes that the kid doesn't drive quickly and drive dangerously or anything. He's just interested in the look of the car and what have you. And so I 100% sympathize with that. And there's lots of people like them. One issue is that there's a continuum of people like that. So at one end, you will have boy racers who are going out driving dangerously. And then at the other end, you have people like this who, potentially it's just because they like cars and like modifying them. Unfortunately, the Irish government and the Irish car insurance industry just doesn't care, doesn't want to know, doesn't want this at all. It's almost impossible to get insurance on a modified car. I would suggest it isn't completely impossible, but it is almost impossible, especially for younger drivers.
Yeah, now, I don't want to sound like a fuddy-duddy, but here goes. I mean, obviously, vehicles go through strenuous testing and what have you in terms of safety. And it is based on, you know, the stock spring, stock suspension and what have you. Like, if you lower a vehicle, you are changing that car's performance, its handling, you know, put on lower profile tires. There's no doubt the car becomes less safe once it's been been modified, because it has not been designed to be driven like that.
No, I don't think you can be as absolute as that, actually, because in theory, if you lower a car properly and put better tires on, then it has a lower center of gravity and potentially better handling, potentially is safer in an emergency maneuver, for example. The issue is, of course, that, as you just said, the original production cars go through strict, strenuous rules and regulations and testing, whereas modifications don't. So, you know, one person may do an incredibly good professional job of modifying a car, and then another person might not, you know, and there's no way to certify all of that. So we don't have a way of going to modifying your car and then bringing it to a sanctioned organization, something like the NCT, and saying, okay, here's my modified car. Can you please check it's all okay and certify it and, you know, say that it's okay. We don't really have a proper system to do that. And without that, I can understand where the insurance companies are coming from. And you know, how are they to know how well a model car is modified?
And policies and prices and attitudes aren't really gauged on the responsible young people like the one that we're talking of here, are they? They're based, or at least we're told, they're based on sort of probability and actual claims and what have you. So that's presumably why the red flag has gone up for insurance companies on modified cars, even in this case, though, that we have a young person that just likes the look of it. He's not there to cause any hassle.
Yeah, absolutely, you're right. The prices, the premiums are based on statistics. And the insurance companies have those statistics, but they also can look at those statistics and based on them go, all right, well, we're just not covering this risk because it is too big a risk. And that's clearly what's been decided with modified cars. I guess they're also trying to discourage it.
There are options, though, are there? I note that, say, for instance, a company like 123, they do a black box insurance effectively. They install a monitor in your car. They don't really ask an awful lot of questions. I had an experience of going for a quote with them recently because they monitor your driving very, very strictly, your acceleration, your braking, your cornering, and your compliance with speed limits. Three strikes, you're penalised, your insurance is cancelled. So they're perhaps less fussy in terms of the questions that they ask. Is that an option for this driver? I'm not sure if they take modified cars or not.
No, that's kind of a separate thing, really. You know, whether you have an unmodified car or not, your driving standard, how well you drive, sticking to the laws and that is quite different. And it's quite clear that if you don't declare modifications on a car, you're potentially invalidating your insurance. So just because they don't ask a lot of questions, you know, that's not a defense, sadly.
Yeah, but what I mean is I'm not suggesting for a second that you can mislead them. It's just that maybe they put more weight on how a car is driven rather than how it's modified. As I said, I didn't go through the questions with that level of detail. So are there any options then?
Other than trying your hardest, maybe hire a broker, a specialised broker. I mean, we're unfortunately in Ireland, we're a small market. The UK is better catered for in this manner. There are specialised brokers for performance cars, young drivers, modified cars, etc. In Ireland, we don't really have as much of that. The market's much smaller. I would still suggest try and employ a broker, a specialised broker that deals with performance cars, perhaps. But it won't be cheap. But it won't be completely impossible. It's not that it's illegal to modify a car in Ireland. That's not the case.
Yeah. Well, it's not illegal, but the Gardaí can make a judgment on roadworthiness, though, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely. If you modify a car, you are responsible for its roadworthiness, as you said, and its safety and other people's
safety. Like people unmodify cars for NCTs and then remod them again, like so.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen. At the end of the day, it actually with any car, regardless whether it's modified or not, the person driving is responsible for its roadworthiness, regardless of the fact that it's just gone through an NCT or not. So if you have a non-modified car and you crash it and you're driving around with a bumper hanging off it, you're going to be stopped by the Gardaí and, you know, penalized for that. Mm. And likewise, if you modify a car, and, you know, the bumpers are too sharp or it's too low or it's scraping the ground or, you know, the exhaust is actually too loud. And I think that's quite subjective. You know, you are opening yourself up to being stopped by the Gardaí and questioned and potentially being put off the road. So you just don't take the chance. You just want to do it properly.
Yeah. And, you know, people put... my understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, like modifying a car too can be something that's not as simple, but something like putting a tow bar on. You know, we're talking an awful lot about modded cars for younger drives and what have you. But if you modify your car in any way, you need to inform your insurance company, don't you? Just generally speaking for general motorists, because they do try and, you know, in the event of a claim, they do try and insure or they try their best maybe not to pay out the claim, some would argue.
Yeah, any modifications you do on your car, regardless of whether it's for sporty reasons or not, you absolutely need to inform your insurer. There's no question of that.
All right, Shane, as always, thank you very much indeed. Lovely to chat to you. That's Shane Donaghy there, editor of CompleteCar.ie. Some comments coming in on that, as you can imagine, that and much more coming up after the short break. I was in Dunn's recently and my shopping came to €52.10. This would cover me for the €10.50 Dunn's voucher. When I got to the till, the cashier informed me that I would need to pick up more items to qualify for the voucher, as the recycling deposit return scheme money does not qualify for the voucher. Right, okay. So that means you couldn't put it towards the overall cost. I'll have to look at. I'll have to think about that. I can't do it whilst I'm trying to concentrate as well. Hi, Greg. Will we see the eclipse tonight in Donegal? And if so, where's the best place to see it? Well, the further west you are, the more you'll see of it. We'll try and get some information on that for you before the end of the show. It's not going to be a total eclipse in this part of the world. I do seem to recall seeing a total eclipse back in when I was very, very young. So I don't know how long ago that would be. But they're rare, and it's only a certain section of the world that actually gets the total eclipse. But we will see a partial eclipse if the sky is somewhat clear. I'll try and get all the information for you on that. Seriously, we are a banana republic. Think we should keep our nose out of the Middle Eastern affairs, says a listener. Great to hear that gentleman on the radio about Zionism and Israel. He is 100% right. Once people realise America is a terrorist state and behind most of if not all wars, then that's your starting point. Anyone who disagrees is anti-Semite, racist, far right. The military-industrial complex rules and controls everything. Why are they not calling the latest Palestinian genocide what it is? Murder, in capital letters. If it was any other country doing this, the UN would be straight in after the US. Another, nobody got rid of the US-British ambassadors when they invaded Iraq, etc., and murdered thousands. Yeah, no one's got a completely clear copybook. On the insurance issue, insurance companies will not insure a modified car. If you change the manufacturing of the car, you're not covered. If you get stopped by a guard or in a collision, you're not covered, even if you don't tell the insurance companies about the modifications. And are covered in a collision, you are not covered. Right, okay, that's a bit confusing, new information for me. So that even if you did get insurance, if your car's modded, maybe that would be voided, seems to a listener seems to say. Regardless of their love of cars, I firmly believe that modified cars should be totally banned. If you want a car like that, keep it within the rally scene. The noise of them is a torture, says a listener there. And I think a lot of people may be of the same opinion, but... just caught a bit of the show with the guy on about insurance. He spoke about an unknown car damaging a house fence. This was on Friday. While it may be an insurance job, it's actually a criminal offence to leave the scene of a road collision without notifying the owner of the damaged item or the guardian. It is really crucial to the safety of us all that these incidents, sorted by insurance or not, are logged with the guardian. It may also be a requirement of the insurance company that the claimant provides a Garda incident number, so the sooner reported, the easier to resolve. Thanks, Connell, for that. But the problem is this was a listener who has a fenced property, and wherever the property is located, cars often crash into it, but they are removed, so the owner of the fence doesn't know who's done it. They can't seek any recourse through the driver's insurance, and maybe they don't have their own insurance or don't want to continuously claim on it. So, yep, what you're saying is not incorrect, Connell, but unfortunately these people crashed into the fence and disappeared before the fence owner can have that conversation with them. Can you please put out on your morning show, a significant amount of money was handed into Dunn's in Letterkenny on the 7th of April at 5:15, it was found at the front door trolley bay. Okay, so if you lost a significant sum of money, it was handed into Dunn's in Letterkenny on Sunday the 7th of April. That's yesterday, of course. It was found at around 5:15 and it was found at the front door trolley bay. So I imagine someone has gone through an absolute panic thinking that money is lost and gone forever. A caller says, as long as people like Zelensky and Netanyahu can cause nuclear explosions, none of us will be safe. As far as any rule of law is concerned, we're firmly in the Stone Age, exactly where the Saxon tyranny wants us. That comes in from Prontius. Okay. There are more names you could add to that list, some would argue. We had some contact on Facebook, probably a long shot at this point, but Karen says she's looking for a four-bed house to rent in the Inishowen area. down to 6 weeks to find one, or she will effectively become homeless. Does anyone know, or is anyone willing to rent out a four-bed house in the Inishowen area? If you want to contact us, we can put you on to Karen there. As I say, there's a massive demand on houses, very few available. And unfortunately, it seems that's only going to get worse before it gets better. All right, it is the 9 till noon show. Loads coming up in the next 2 hours, but we'll take a break now for the news and the obituary notices.